Praise the Lord. Good morning. So, message last week was what's in a name. I talked about how the word name, both in the Hebrew and the Greek, means character, honor, and authority. And how Scripture says a good name is more to be desired than riches. So Wednesday night, when we'd had a fresh little dumping of snow and fresh little dumping of cold, Jerry said, "Hey, you want to go change the sign?" I said, "Nope." So I just figured I'd leave the same sign up there and do something else. And as I left, as we left church and I was on my way home, all of a sudden a thought came to me. You know, I talked about having a new name, that new character and authority that comes from being triumphant in Christ. But I realized I hadn't actually talked about some of what that was. So, before I get too far into it, I want to greet everybody listening online and tell you that you're missed. Especially Jackie. Love to have you back here. It's beautiful. It's going to get to 29 degrees today. We've only got about 1.5, 2 feet of snow. So, you know, if you like jumping off perfectly good mountains with sticks on your feet, it's a good place to do it. Come on up for your ski trip and drop in and see us. What? Jim? Well, Jim doesn't jump off perfectly good mountains, but it's good to talk to Jim as well. But everybody that's either some of our snowbirds, like Jackie and Jim, or other people that listen, that are a little far away to make the commute to church, like Mark and Terry and Barb. I want to talk about what's in a name. So, because I didn't change the sign, and because I thought about this, I just put a what's in a name too for the message today. And one of the verses that we read last week, in fact, the only one we read last week that we're going to read this week, is Revelation 2, verse 17, which says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on that stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it." God gives us a new name. And as we talked about, name means character, honor, and authority. Praise God, I am not the person I used to be. Praise God, you are not the person that you used to be. That God is continuing to shape us, continuing to mold us, continuing to work in us. But some of that, what is some of that character, honor, and authority that we have because of who we are in Christ? In 1 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 1, says Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, and all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, grace to you and peace from God our Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, you're sanctified in Christ. Praise God. We are sanctified. We are set apart. We are set apart as holy. We are called to be saints. Who feels like a saint? Oh, look at all them hands. Oh, one. Praise God. We got one. I'm called to be. Praise God, I am. Not that I feel, but I don't always feel like it. In fact, I don't generally. In fact, I really can't think of a single time I felt like a saint. But it's not in how we feel. We are called to be saints. We are declared to be. God, who sees the end from the beginning, has declared that we are the saints of God. Praise the Lord. It's not in how we feel. It's not in how we act. It's not in what's going on. It's the fact that God is the one who's able to lift us up, to keep us from falling, to redeem our lives from destruction, has already done that. He's called us and set us apart, called to be saints and sanctified in Christ. In Romans 1, beginning with verse 5, talking about Jesus, says, through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience in the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says right there, you are called in Jesus Christ. You are called beloved of God. You are called saints. Not will be, not gonna be. The God who sees the end from the beginning, who sees the finished work, knows and has declared we're called of God. Has declared we are sanctified in Christ. Has declared we are called saints. It is a finished work. That which God has said, Scripture tells us, His words will surely come to pass. They will not return void. They're not going to come back of no use or worthless or empty. They will do what He has sent them forth to do. And God has said, you're a saint. God has said, you're sanctified. God has said, you are precious in the sight of the Lord. You are beloved of God. We don't always feel that way, but we are. We need to begin walking in what God has declared. Remember, faith is believing God was telling you the truth when He said something. In Luke 12, beginning verse 6 and 7, says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear then. You are of more value than many sparrows. Can we at least agree we're more valuable than sparrows? Not just one, but a bunch of them. God is paying attention. The very hairs on your head are numbered. Now, how many people think God's sitting here, okay, one less. But the very hairs on our head are numbered. God pays that close attention to the things that are going on in our life. We are valuable to the Lord. We are precious to the Lord. Even our deaths, it says in the Psalms, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Everything about our lives, God is paying attention to. And God is at work. In Romans 12, starting with verse 4, says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ. We are the body of Christ. And individually members one of another. We're part of each other. This is what Scripture declares. How we act affects other people. And whether or not we tear people down or encourage them is important to the growth of the body. Ideally, we don't tear people down. When we do, we need to repent. But we are called to be part of the body, to encourage one another, to lift one another up, to recognize the importance of each other. But it's all part of being the body of Christ. What He has declared we are. Verse 6, having then gifts, oh, by the way, you're gifted. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to every one of us, let us use them. So not only are we gifted, we are expected to use what God has given us for the encouragement and for the benefit of all. Goes on, if in prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The Scripture keeps on going, but what it says is, whatever God has given you, He's given it to you for a reason, and part of that reason is to encourage other people with it. Part of that reason is to lift other people up. Excuse me. So we go through there. Who are we in Christ? We are blessed beyond measure. We are important. We are called to be saints. So, in Isaiah 43, You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen. We are witnesses of God. We're God's servant, and we're chosen. They didn't just, you know, wander into this. God called us. God picked us out of a crowd. We are precious in the sight of the Lord. He has done wondrous things. He has shown Himself mighty on our behalf. The Creator of the heavens and the earth, who spoke the worlds into existence, said, "You're important to me. I pick you." Do we let that get in our heart? Do we let that become part of who we are? And do we recognize that we are precious in the sight of the Lord, that we are called and equipped and gifted for the purpose that God has for us? We are important to God's plan. Oh. That you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God, nor shall there be after me. We are called to be a witness, His servant that He has chosen, to declare that He is God. And that there's no one like Him. What good is a witness that won't open his mouth? What good is a witness that won't share what's inside of him? We need to get a grasp of who we are so that we can begin to be effective in encouraging other people. We can begin to be effective showing who God is to the people around us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. There's another title. There's another aspect of who we are. We are ambassadors for Christ. You know, an ambassador doesn't go in or is not supposed to be going around doing things for their own benefit. They're going about as a representative of their country, as a representative. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to be representatives of heaven to this world. As though God were pleading through us. You get that? Our hearts should be so much that we are acting as though God were pleading through us to touch the hearts of people, to reach out to the people around, pleading. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled with God. It's not God's will that any should perish. We know Scripture says that. But do we live like we understand the urgency that we plead with people on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God? Do we recognize that as ambassadors of Christ, we are called to be lights in the midst of this darkness? Yes, that means it has to be dark for the light to shine. Especially a feeble light like mine. So we shouldn't be surprised when we see the darkness around us, but recognize that God has called us not to be little bitty feeble lights. You know, you ever seen one of those tack light commercials or something like that, where they flip out this flashlight and it kind of illuminates the whole countryside? See, one of those? That's what we're called to do, to show the grace and love and mercy of God. Many, 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 many years ago, back when I was a teenager, me and my dad and my brother would go out and commercial catfish and sell the catfish and sell the good catfish. The ones that weren't so good, those were the ones we got to eat. But Dad had a headlight, and he'd managed to get a hold of an aircraft landing light bulb. This thing, you hook it up to a car battery and you could read a newspaper across, you know, half a mile away, it looked like. You could go over there, and in fact, in the Everglades, you could shine it, and you could tell where every last one of them alligators were, because their eyes glow. But this bright, bright, bright light, like the sun came on, and you had a beam of sunlight. That's what we're called to be, to illuminate what's going on around us, to show God's love in the process. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God, who sees the end from the beginning, who does not make mistakes, says you are the righteousness of God. Praise God. Who are we? We are called, we are beloved, we are chosen, we are saints, we are set apart, we are ambassadors, we are the righteousness of God, we are gifted, we are holy, we are set apart. All of these things. Before I go on to the last passage, on the front of the bulletin, there's a list of my new identity in Christ. And while I'm going to read these off for the people that are listening, we're not going to go to all the scriptures, but I just want you to think about this. I am accepted in the Beloved. That's Ephesians 1:6. Says we are accepted. Who are we? I am blessed with all blessings. Ephesians 1:3. I am chosen in him, Ephesians 1:4. I am delivered from dark powers, Colossians 1:13. I am elevated to heavenly places, Ephesians 2:6. I am forgiven from all sin, Ephesians 1:7. I am God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. I am healed by his stripes, 1 Peter 2:24. I am innocent before him in love, Ephesians 1:4. I am justified by faith, Romans 5:1. I am kept by the power of God, 1 Peter 2:24. I am loved unconditionally, John 3:16. I am more than a conqueror, Romans 8:37. I am not condemned, Romans 8:1. I am overcoming the world, 1 John 5:5. I am predestined to sonship, Ephesians 1:5. I am quickened together with Christ, Ephesians 2:5. I am redeemed from the curse of the law, Galatians 3:13. I am sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. I am to his praise, Ephesians 1:12. I am unto his glory, Ephesians 1:14. I am victorious through Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15:57. I am washed in his blood, Revelations 1:5. I am crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I am yoked together with believers, 2 Corinthians 6:14. I am zealous of good works, Titus 2:14. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am engraved in the hands of God. I am a new creation, a royal priesthood, holy and acceptable to God. God's doing wondrous things in each and every one of us. It is time for us to walk in that. This is just one of the possible lists that you can come up with of who we are in God. There's a bunch of them. A bunch of them done different ways, different scriptures. This whole list that I just read, the only scripture referenced here that's actually in the sermon this morning is the one we read a minute ago in 1 Corinthians 5. Or 2 Corinthians 5. I don't remember where it was on the list. No, it's not. Nope, that's not the one. At any rate, I looked at it this morning, forgot where I was looking at. Probably Ephesians 2. Yep, Ephesians 2:10. There we go. We are God's workmanship. That's the only one in this whole list that I actually had the scripture set apart for also for this message. Ephesians 2, beginning with verse 4. last passage of Scripture. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In that passage right there, there's the hint that we are God's trophies of grace that He can show off. Verse 7 says that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. Look what I did in this one's life. And brag about it. You ever gone to a school, walk into a high school or wherever, and there by the front office there's any trophies or any sport competition things they happen to run, and those trophies are up there? Or go to somebody's house that, you know, they've got their blue ribbons from track or from a horsemanship competition or the best pig in the county fair or whatever the trophy is. They're displaying those trophies. They're proud of it. God's displaying us as trophies because He's proud of what He's done in us. We are called to be His ambassadors. We are called to be His witnesses. We are called to declare the grace and love and mercy of God. And He's equipped us. He's the one who's done the work. He's the one who's changed our hearts. He's the one who's made us new creation. And He's doing it. He says, I want to show everybody in the ages to come. Verse 7 of Ephesians 2. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. And this isn't the only place in the Bible that talks about that. That talks about God holding us up as trophies of His grace. Displaying the wondrous things He's done in us as an example of how great He is. God's showing off trophies. Did you know that you're God's trophy? Do you understand how precious you are in the sight of God? Will it change our hearts and will it change our lives? Will it change the way we go through life? To recognize that the Creator of the heavens and earth wants to brag about what He's done in me, what He's done in you. He's already got the plan in place to do it. He's already set it up. It's already in Scripture. God's the one who sees the end from the beginning, remember? As God declares it, it is a finished thing. His Word will never return void. It will always do that He sent it forth to do. So when we're called saints, when we're called redeemed, when we're called set apart, when we're called ambassadors, when we're called witnesses, when we're called beloved, when we're called friend, when we're called children of God, it is already done. We're just walking it out. It is finished, Jesus said on the cross. It is accomplished. It is completed. It is done. And we walk in faith knowing that these things are already set in place. What's in a name? The character, honor, and authority that God has declared us to be needs to start flowing through our life. As we walk it out day by day, as we show His grace to the people around us. Because God's already going to show off the work He's done in us as trophies of His grace. So why don't we start sharing a testimony of the great things God has already done, changing me from who I was, changing me from who I was to who He's making me to be. Why don't we start walking that out? We are called to be witnesses. We are called to be ambassadors. We are called to be salt and light and all those other things Scripture tells us. Because God's got a plan. And He is bringing it to pass. He who began the good work in you is faithful to complete it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word will never return void, but it always does that you sent it forth to do. Those things that you have declared from of old will surely come to pass. We are so grateful, Father, for where you brought us. and recognize, Lord, that you have called us to walk in the newness of life, to walk in the authority and the character and everything that you called us to be. To begin walking out this faith, walking out this grace, walking out this life, walking out as ambassadors and as witnesses and trophies of grace, walking out as holy and set apart, as sanctified, as saints, as chosen, as beloved, walking this out in our life. Father, that you be glorified. That others might see our good work and glorify our Father in heaven. That others might see where you brought us from, what you brought us through, and recognize that there is a God who can work no matter what the situation is. There is a God who is sovereign over all. That you may get the praise. That you may get the glory. Father, you've called us so many things. And you've called us to walk it out. So help us, Father, as we step forward in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.